Welcome back to the Boys of 161st Street, episode 26. We have a very special episode for you guys today. This week, Damon sat down with his childhood friend, Josiah Gray. Josiah is one of the bright young talents in baseball right now. He ranks 67th on the MLB Pipeline Top 100 list. He currently plays for the Dodgers, grew up a Yankees fan. He and Damon dove into his unorthodox journey into professional baseball, his involvement in the Yasiel Puig deal, and so much more. Hope you guys enjoyed it as much as we did. Let's go.
Do a little introduction for my man Josiah Jojo Gray over here. Me and Jojo go way back. We've been, we grew up in the same town near Rochelle, played baseball together our whole life. He was obviously a lot better than me, but he went to Le Moyne College, drafted by the Cincinnati Reds, and now we're hanging out with the Dodgers system. And you're the 65th ranked prospect in all of baseball right now.
Yeah, it was like 60. Yeah, I think it was 65.
That's like fucking crazy, man.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. I like, that just blows me away. But I wanna take a step back though, because I know that a lot of people don't know that you were recruited to play college as a shortstop.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, my buddy Luke, who's on a podcast, and he's from Harrison.
Okay.
Yeah. And he wanted me to tell you he got hit off of you in high school, so that makes but anyway, a lot of people don't know you were recruited as a shortstop in college. And I guess, what was that like transition like for in college when you got there and you were just like, you know what, I'm actually a lights out pitcher?
Yeah, it honestly, it just happened kind of like overnight. Because my freshman year, I went in and my role was kind of clear to where I was going to play third. I was going to back up at third, back up at short, and pitch a little bit. And then sophomore year, I would come out and be the starting shortstop and pitch a little bit. But that freshman year, went okay with the bat, didn't do too well on the mound. And then that summer, out of nowhere, I just started throwing gas. Like it was like the ball was coming out so much better, and still throwing strikes. So I was like, all right, I mean, we got something here. And that's when I hit 94, and then come back that sophomore year, still gonna play shortstop, and then gonna close out ball games. And then that kind of like was when my career kind of took the leap it did, because then I was throwing mid-90s. And then obviously went to the Cape Cod League and just like blew it out there. So it was like really like it happened overnight.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy to look at like from the outside perspective to how it all happened, because the last time I saw you, who knows when, but like it definitely wasn't as big as it is now.
Yeah.
So it's still crazy to look back on and be like, wow, this story is like so unique, and like in a lot of guys this doesn't happen to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because like obviously everyone, you know, when we were in high school throwing, like everyone obviously knew you were the ace. Yeah, and like that's just the way it was. Obviously with the college, no one knew you were just a pitcher. So what did you throw, like how many full seasons did you start as a pitcher in college?
Just my last one, my junior year, when I got drafted, because my freshman year I was backing up at two positions. I pitched like 8 innings. And then my sophomore year, I started all the games at shortstop, so 45 games. And I pitched 13 innings as a closer. And then my junior year, obviously after the summer and everything, I came back, and that was my first full year just pitching through like 90-something innings. So you can say I only have 2 full years under my belt just pitching. which is kind of crazy.
And that's like not a typical turnaround time for people, not at all. And that's why. So I guess when was that like that oh shit moment when you were like, fuck, like I'm getting looked at and like I'm turning heads and people are starting to look at me and I got a real shot here to get drafted and not even just a late round, but an early round in the draft.
Honestly, I had a couple oh shit moments. The first one obviously is like everything pertaining to the Cape Cod League and going out there and getting guys out actually, like, because you can always like dream, all right, I have good stuff at the Division II level, but I don't know how it's going to play at the division, that league. So that was kind of like, once I started getting guys out there, I was like, all right, holy crap. But then that fall, my junior year fall, I started hearing from I heard from about half the league in terms of like scouts reaching out and all that stuff. And, you know, I'd never really known anyone that has gone through the process or, you know, dealt with anything pertaining to scouting. And I was like, all right, I can understand all these teams, but like if there's 15, you know, that's kind of like, all right, there must be some real interest to where they want to pick me. And, you know, I was like, okay, so I kind of just ran with it. That was like the biggest oh shit moment is coming back that fall. Like every couple weeks, you know, I'd have another scout text me, hey, you want to sit down for a meeting? Hey, all this kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Did you have like an idea of who was going to take you at all before the draft started? Or did you have like a four or five teams that you were kind of looking at, or what was that like?
Yeah, definitely. Going into the draft, I had no idea. Cause I was in that range of like, could be, end of day one, could be early day two. And, you know, I just had no idea. And of course I heard from, every team by the time the draft rolled around. But, you know, there were definitely a couple teams I thought were going to take me, or at least were considering me really highly, were like the Blue Jays, Oakland, Atlanta, even LA, even the Dodgers. But it wasn't really clear to where they would take me because, you know, Division II, there's always going to be some question marks there.
Yeah.
So, obviously, when I got drafted by Cincinnati, that was like, all right. I mean, I talked to them a lot, but it wasn't a team that was like, oh, Cincinnati, you know? It was kind of like an under-the-radar pick.
Yeah.
Definitely caught a lot of us by surprise, but, you know, I was definitely grateful to be picked by them.
Yeah. Obviously, you got, you know, it was the call, right? yeah, that's wild. So, you know, Cincinnati picked you second round, and what was that initial transition like? Because, you know, a lot of people, sports are very different in terms of minor league systems. You know, it's like, a reason a lot of people don't like college football a lot, because it's like 10 guys who are pro ready and there's 10 guys who are straight out of high school and don't know how to hit, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so different. So, but I know baseball is completely different because there's so many different levels, yeah. Right? So I guess what was that kind of transition like from your last year in college to that first year in the pro leagues?
It was big because obviously you got the call. I believe the draft is either on a Monday or a Tuesday. And that Sunday, I was flying out to Arizona. So I was flying out to Goodyear, Arizona, signed a contract, and boom, here you go. You're in pro ball. So obviously it was kind of like a whirlwind, kind of like I had to figure out as I was going in this whole new world, because like I'm here with all the guys I get drafted by, drafted with, and no one knows what to do. Just in terms of getting ready to go out to the field, what we're doing at the field, what time we have to be at the field. Like, no one had an idea. It was kind of like a crash course.
Yeah.
And we all went to rookie ball, which was in Eastern Tennessee. So it kind of went from just kind of like being at the complex to this whole new affiliate. So the Reds, this was the first time they had this rookie ball affiliate in Eastern Tennessee. So while we're going through this crash course of our first year pro ball, the Reds were going through this crash course and having this first year affiliate in Eastern Tennessee. So it was kind of like, all right, who's the people that are guiding us aren't exactly sure what to do with us, and we don't even know what to do. So it's kind of like everyone was
just like disorganized.
Edge. Yeah, disorganized, on edge, to the point where it's like, all right, is this what every other level is like?
Mm-hmm.
But you honestly settle in after a couple weeks, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's just baseball.
Yeah.
And whether the competition's a little bit more heightened, you just have to tune in a little bit more. But it's just baseball at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah. Fast forward a little bit, because I know that the Reds was just a small part of everything. Mm-hmm. And wasn't it your birthday when you found out that you got straight? I remember something happened. You were in town or something, and we were like, "Yo, it's Jonah's birthday." And then I look on Twitter, and you're just, "All right, this happened."
Yeah. Carmine texted me.
Yeah.
Fun story, actually. So I was with my girlfriend. I guess I'll tell you about the whole day, but I was with my girlfriend, and we had just stopped at a liquor store. So we're going into the city for the night, and I get a call, a random call. It's from a guy within the Reds player development department, and I'm not too sure what this call is about. I think it's going to be like a happy birthday, or it's how we're going to do things now. So, I don't know. Because he was new. But yeah, he just straight up told me. He's like, "Hey, we're trading you to LA." And I'm like, okay. And I don't really know what to say. And he doesn't really give me much. He says, details are going to come out soon. You'll be hearing from them soon. But, you know, it was a pleasure having you, and best of luck. And so that all transpires. And about 30 minutes later, it breaks on MLB Network, ESPN, so on and so forth. And Carmine texts me. He's like, "You guys just got Puig," talking about Puig going to the Reds.
Yeah.
And I want to say he texted me about 2 minutes after that. He said, "Wait, in all caps, are you in this trade?" And I just started dying laughing. I'm like,
"Oh shit!"
Yeah.
Oh,
so
God.
That's something I'm always gonna remember. I tell him about that. I'm like, "Dude, like, that was like the funniest thing."
You know, it's funny because me and Carmen were going out that night, and I remember like went to his house, and I was like in his room, and I was, "Yo, did you hear about this shit?" We just like pulled up like MLB Network, and we were like, "Yo, shit, it's JoJo up there." Oh man, that's pretty. So I guess Moneyball's pretty accurate with the way people are getting traded.
Yeah. At least for me, it was kind of just like a phone call, and then a lot more phone calls after that.
Yeah.
To try and figure things out, but yeah, it was kind of just like cut and dry, straight to the point. Like,
yeah,
business, you know.
Yeah, I guess I know you weren't there for too long in the beginning, but I guess was that more of a, were you more happy than kind of, I guess, what were kind of you feeling that moment? Because I don't really know what, you know, a player goes through. Is that more of a happy trade? Is it you know, maybe they don't appreciate me, or is it more of like a, they value me and they value that I'm being traded for someone who's, you know, fucking Yasiel Puig. He's a big fucking name, you know. It's like, was it more of an honor, or was it more of kind of the opposite?
Honestly, you said it. It's like, it's kind of like an honor. Just in getting drafted and getting traded so quickly, it's obviously there's a sting to it. I saw myself, you know, in Cincinnati for a long time.
Yeah.
Because they invested in me, I wanted to, you know, have that investment pay off long term. But it's definitely like an honor at the end of the day, because you get traded for a couple big leaguers, a couple all stars. Matt Kemp and Alex Woodward in that trade as well, and they're both all stars previously. So it's definitely like, wow, I see this other organization values me as well, and now I kind of have to go into a whole new situation and kind of just embrace it. And, you know, now I've got to see myself in LA long term.
Yeah. And I guess that kind of brings up a good point, the whole like long term thing I wanted to talk to you about, because only people who play in the league really understand this. It's like, I guess, what were you? Were you a Yankees fan growing up?
Yeah.
So this is something I've always wondered. you grew up a Yankee fan. You grew up watching these guys, idolizing these guys, and watching a team. And then we get to a point where just like, now they're your biggest American League rival. Do you still have feelings for the Yankees? Are you kind of like, is it weird? Is it that weird that you're kind of more of a diehard Dodgers fan now? Or what's that kind of like?
It's weird. Yeah, it's definitely weird. That's a really good question, though. It's kind of like I have to put that aside because I my allegiance is with the Dodgers now. Yeah. But in general, like, you know me, I'm like a huge baseball fan, so I can
turn
the game and watch whatever. Obviously, but I kind of have to put that Yankee pass behind and, you know, go for the Dodgers, which, I mean, if they're the best team in the NL, so it's
Of course,
it's a good allegiance to have, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah, I've always wondered that, because it's always something I always, like, you know, fucking, you see like the Garrett Cole things happen, that he's been a fan forever, and he comes out and he's like Yankees fan today, tomorrow, forever. I'm just like, all right, bro. Like, yeah, I support you, but that's a quick switch, you know.
that's a tough one. I don't know how most guys do, but that's a tough situation.
Yeah, for sure.
With currently no NBA, NHL, or MLB, you might think there's nothing to bet on. Well, you'd be wrong. Our exclusive partner still has hundreds of sports, events, and games to wager on, or let them bring Vegas to you with their online casino and blackjack, all open 24 hours a day and all online, including their $750,000 poker series. And if you're into prop bets and entertainment betting, you can still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, and even the weather. Visit their website and join today to receive a 100% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Be sure to use the promo code BLUEWIRE. Bet online. Your online wagering experts.
Yeah, it's crazy. So now, kind of talk to me about like what's going on right now. Because I know that, you know, this whole kind of situation we're in right now kind of sucks with Major League Baseball being postponed. And we were talking earlier about, you know, still trying to get your work in and just trying to keep the arm fresh and everything. I know this is a fucking huge year for you because you know, you got a lot of potential to actually make some starts in the big leagues this year. What was that, you know, what was that first start like for the Dodgers in spring training, kind of going to spring training and being invited to spring training? Kind of what was the whole experience like?
Yeah. So going to big league camp, getting that call that I'm heading to big league camp was definitely a really surreal moment, because I'm like, you know, I think I did well last year, but you know, you never think you're going to get that invite. But once I got that call and they told me, I was kind of like, wow, you know, I've done enough to this point. I can have to continue to improve and do everything, because now this is at the highest level that it comes to. But it definitely was like a wow moment, and I really basked in that like accomplishment to, you know, get that invite to big league camp in my second full year. And just being in big league camp was a experience in itself, because, you know, I'm surrounded by Cy Young winners, World Series champions, Gold Glovers, Silver Sluggers, whatever you name it. So being in that culture, you kind of have to up your intensity, because, you know, everyone around you, they're not worrying about getting outs in the Texas League. They're worrying about winning the World Series and, you know,
that's crazy,
lasting legacy. So that was kind of like something I had to really circle my mind around, because that's, you know, that's the end goal. Whether you're in the minors or the majors, that's the end goal. And when you're in the minors, you don't really think of that.
But
once you're kind of just thrown into the situation, being in big league camp, it's really at the forefront in your mind.
Yeah, because you're surrounded by those guys, right? It's like, who was the person that you were like, oh shit, that's...
Oh man, everyone. But I want to say the first couple days when Mookie Betts and David Price rolled into the locker room, the clubhouse.
Two guys that were just traded over.
Yeah, that definitely was a wow moment, because once I got there, you know, everyone was settling in, so all the regulars were settling in.
Yeah.
They obviously rolled up a couple days later because of the trade and had to be announced and whatnot. But once they rolled in, that kind of was like a wow. You know, I'm in the same locker room as these two players, and these are guys I can learn something from, and, you know, kind of have to take off the shyness of not wanting to approach them and just, you know, kind of just throwing myself out there, because they have such knowledge that,
mm-hmm.
you know, a young guy like me can pay off with literally one conversation.
Yeah.
So I kind of had to have that mentality throughout my my couple weeks in Big League camp.
Yeah, I'm sure it's kind of like you know, you're surrounded by a team that's, you know, been in the World Series a couple times the past few years. They're probably their favorites to be in the World Series this year if the season never happens. And like, I'm sure that has to be like a motivation in itself, just to be around like a team like this instead of being around a team that, you know, is maybe just rebuilding or just kind of, you know, playing it game by game and just kind of playing to, you know, better their own self-value, you know? Because I don't know, I guess I'll leave that question to you, but like, you know, it might seem like you're playing for a bigger purpose instead of just playing to get your kind of start out there.
Yeah, yeah, for especially for young guys, you have to buy in to the whole team, because once you, once I got traded, I bought in completely. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like another buy-in process to where everyone has a certain role, and those roles are so defined, and you have to produce and give your best every day, because that next guy is, and there's someone grinding for your spot every day. So kind of that, like, lighting yourself on fire.
Yeah.
To, you know, spark everything you need to help the team, help yourself, and, you know, win a World Series.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, man, I mean, that's a kind of surreal experience. So, like, what was that, kind of walk me through what it was like to get that call to make that start in spring training, and kind of what that, you know, that inning was like, where you're up there and you're pitching and you're kind of just fucking dealing. I was watching you. You were fucking dealing, man.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely nervous, but yeah, I had just been told, "Hey, you got the start against the Angels at home." So I just started to, obviously, the nerves started to come in, and just started to get prepared for it, and went out there, did business as usual. With everything pregame and everything off the mounds. And once I got in the game, you know, I kind of just wanted the nerves to settle in, because it wasn't like they were going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
But try to just enjoy the moment. You know, it's not all the time that a young guy gets to get into a game, but even gets a start. You know, with that was in like the second week of Big League camp. You know, that's kind of like unprecedented, because, you know, you have so many guys that have to get work in. But that was definitely a wow moment. Another wow moment, because I got to get a start
at
the Dodgers in spring training, and hoping to do that in the future a lot more.
And yeah,
we have that be, you know, more common than it was this year.
Yeah, man. And yeah, and I know I was kind of following Twitter around afterwards, and like, you know, it's kind of crazy, because, you know, I saw fucking Stroman tweeting at you. Yeah. And that was kind of sick. I fucking love Marcus Stroman, man. He's the fucking coolest.
That's,
I know. Yeah, I remember, because you were, it wasn't like a, was one of your interviews, you were like, you compare yourself to Marcus Stroman the most?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I said that in a couple different interviews. he's a guy I compare myself to. And story-wise, kind of like intensity-wise out there on the mound. And he's from New York. It's kind of like you have three things that are pretty similar. So it's like, why? Yeah.
And he's, even the way he plays too, he's like, he's the athletic pitcher too. You know, it's like he's fielding ground balls before his start to get in that athletic mindset, you know?
Yeah, he's nuts with that. He, former shortstop. Yeah, he's a little bit more athletic than me, but the way he kind of still enjoys that like innocent part of the game that he probably misses so much. It makes me like, wow, like, all right, Stroman, I love that side, you know?
Yeah, that's fucking crazy, man. Damn. Well, like, I don't know. I like, you know, I think that, you know, especially, you know, knowing you throughout this whole entire process, I know that, you know, when we were kind of, when we were in high school, we saw, you know, Tom Kohler coming up in the big leagues. I know you've been, I mean, you guys been talking on Twitter and probably outside as well. And like, you know, it's funny because like from a outsider looking in, it's like, you know, I was always the guy who was tuning into Tom Kohler's starts when he was on the Marlins, you know, if, even if it was, you know, it was relief pitching in the sixth inning for an out, like it was just like so cool watching. It was like, yo, new row. Yeah. So cool. Yeah. It's wild, man. I know that, you know, everyone over here is rooting for you to kind of fucking kill it, man. And, yeah, man. Like, well, I guess what was that kind of like? Have you and Tom Kohler talked a little bit about, you know, what the, you know, kind of experience is like? I know he's retired now, but he's been through it all, and you know, yeah. I guess what was, did you guys have any conversations with him?
Not anything too long. Everything's been pretty brief. Kind of like when I got traded, he said best of luck because he spent all of, I want to say, 2018 over here with LA.
Yeah,
rehabbing, and everything's been brief, but no, I'm sure he's a resource I can go to just about pitching, because you know he pitched a fair amount of time in the big leagues, which, you know, that's to do from a guy from New Rochelle, and you know, where there's not a lot of baseball players, there's not a lot of people who have like set that path for us
beforehand. Yeah. Yeah, or for even, sure.
Now it's like unprecedented to see how long he lasts in the big league. So he's definitely a guy I'm going to lean on. And because of his knowledge and pitching in the NL East, a really tough division, it's something that will be valuable and definitely be used down the road.
Yeah. And yeah, it's a good point too, because, you know, it's like you do everything for, you know, the people in the, like, the universities and the high schools that have kind of helped you get to that point. I'm sure that, you know, how many big leaguers have come from Lemoyne before, you know, I don't know. So, you know, it's especially being drafted in a higher round, you know, it's like, you're putting all these places on the map, and that's, that in itself is fucking huge, man. It's gotta be a fucking crazy experience.
It gives the little guys a chance, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, man, it's fucking crazy. What's, I mean, I was going to ask you this before, but what was kind of like that decision? Like, I'm backtracking a lot now, but, so I know you were, you know, you were a junior when you got drafted, so, you know, you could have played another year.
Yeah.
I guess what was that kind of decision like, and what was the thing that really made you just kind of go for it?
Oh, good question. I didn't really try to focus on the draft beyond the occasional text from a scout to meet or whatever. But I really was just focusing on winning, because we had like a really good team. We had the best team Lemoyne's had in since they were Division II, started Division II. So that was since 2012. So it was 2018, best team in 6 years, six, 7 years. So I kind of like just circled around that thought of winning, because I knew we had a team. Okay, if the draft happens, it happens, but I want to just win and have that be the lasting memory, because we can do it. And once the last out came in our regional bid, it was kind of like, it was really sad because I knew at the end of that day, a lot of guys, their careers were ending.
Yeah.
But luckily, my career was going to continue. And I didn't go into the draft knowing I was going to sign, but I kind of had a inkling to where if everything was right and I was ready to make the decision, I would sign.
Yeah.
And it kind of just worked out in my favor to where, you know, I was picked in a really high round, valuable, really felt like I was cared for. So I signed, and you know, everything kind of just started from there.
Yeah, it's almost like just like the, you know, your gut feeling's always right, and it's probably just like, you know, I could definitely see that. You know, it's that you're get picked it probably higher than you're expecting, and it just seems right. You know, it's like, it's just, you know, and the thing is that, you know, I don't know if you had a, like a moment when you were in college and you were like, you know, maybe I'm not really here to, you know, finish my college education. I'm really here to continue doing what I love. You know, it's, I don't know. I can't experience that, but
it was crazy. Cause, I actually like crushed college, like GPA in the classroom. And it was a tough decision mainly because I went to college to do college. I mean, I was decent at shortstop, decent at pitching, but I wasn't really planning on, you know, going pro after. It wasn't, I didn't really have the tool, the one tool that guys are looking for. So I just understood that and tried to play baseball as much as I could and just enjoy the game because it was probably my last couple years. And obviously things kind of turned 360 to where I developed a tool, a couple tools to where I could become an asset for a pro team. But then my love for the classroom didn't change at all. And it kind of heightened because I wanted to make sure I was taking care of my classwork while also taking care of stuff in the field. Cause like that would be a coach's best weapon right there. They have a kid handle himself on the field and in the classroom. It's like every coach wishes for that. So it kind of just heightened once all the draft stuff started happening.
Yeah. I'm sure it definitely like played in your favor as well, but yeah, I mean, that's fucking crazy experience, man. I'm still kind of like, I don't know, it's wild, and I'm over here just kind of talking to you about it, but
it really is wild.
Yeah, but yeah, man, I mean, I know that, you know, everyone in Newrail, everyone I'm talking to, we're all rooting for you to do it, to, you know, fucking go out there and show up and have not disappointed yet, and I don't expect you to anytime soon, man.
Yeah, appreciate it, bro.
Yeah, for sure. And don't beat the Yankees too bad, because then I don't know. I might have to, you know, start a Dodgers podcast or something.
We'll see.
All right, man. Well, it was a pleasure talking to you. You know, best luck going forward. Hopefully this MLB shut down, you know, hopefully this kind of gets up and running. I mean, gotta hope for the best, but also gotta stay healthy. So you know, keep doing what you're doing, and yeah, man, best of luck, and we'll catch up soon.
All right, sounds good, dude.
All right, man, catch you later.
All right, homie.